Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Dan Brotman, you may know him from South Africa. He is in Canada presently and executive director of the Windsor Jewish Federation and Community Center. Dan, got a smile on my face. Great to be chatting to you, and thank you for being with us on Chai FM this afternoon.
Great to be chatting with you, Simon. And just one correction, we're actually on the same continent right now. I'm joining you from the Agafay Desert in Morocco.
No, you've got to be kidding me. You definitely are building up your Voyager miles very, very quickly. Well, seeing that you're just up the road, explain to us, because many of us are completely perplexed as to why your first trip following lockdown would have been to Lebanon.
Well, a couple of years ago, I decided to start doing extreme traveling, which basically means going to countries that you're told not to visit. So I went to Iran and North Korea, and I actually presented at Limud a few years ago about my trip to Iran and North Korea. But basically, I decided that I was ready to start traveling again. And I sort of thought to myself, you know, where else have I been told not to go to? And having lived in Israel and obviously being Jewish, Lebanon was certainly one of them. I had always promised myself I would never go to Lebanon. It's too risky, too dangerous given my background. That's my red line. But lo and behold, I crossed my own red line and I went about a month ago.
Dan, I was going to say it's no secret to anybody who does the slightest little bit of investigating on social media platforms to see that you are Jewish, involved in Jewish federations and have been for many years. Was that not an issue for you gaining access to Lebanon? Specifically your ties to Israel.
I wouldn't say being Jewish was an issue in any way. There was actually another Jewish woman from the U.S. in my group, in my tour group. I think for me, the issue was that I served in the Israeli army and I'm an Israeli citizen.
Oh my goodness.
So that was much, riskier. I was certainly nervous, coming to Lebanon and not knowing how much they would know about my background. But it wasn't a problem getting into the country. I was very discreet about my ties to Israel, and I got to see a place that people told me was really off limit.
So let's talk about current circumstances in Lebanon. I'm one of those who are pretty much addicted to YouTube videos because I can't get my head around the fact that a society that was so advanced is collapsing in on itself. Is what I am seeing true?
Yes. Yes, but it's always a yes, but as I wrote in my recent article, I mean, the first thing that struck me about Lebanon was the darkness. Basically, most of the country, you know, we think we have it bad in South Africa with load shedding and Eskom. But in Lebanon, they get maximum 2 hours of electricity a day.
Wow.
Lebanon is also having a fuel shortage right now. Very, very severe. So even generators right now cannot be filled up. So people are living in darkness. We arrived in Beirut at night and we drove through the city and huge blocks of flats were just totally dark despite the fact that people are living in them. People are queuing up at petrol stations sometimes for 7 hours or more, only to arrive at the pump and be told we've ran out of petrol for the day. So I would say the shortage of petrol is probably the biggest challenge in Lebanon right now, in addition to the fact that up until very recently, they hadn't had a government in more than a year, and the currency has lost more than 90% of its value. So someone who earned just a year or two ago $1,000 is now earning $100. Plunging close to half the population into poverty.
When one watches reports coming out of Lebanon, it seems the one thing that they have lost is hope. When one watches interviews with young people, the only hope they seem to have left for themselves is to leave. Is that an accurate description or, again, exaggerated?
No, that's a very accurate description. I mean, basically from the minute I arrived in Lebanon, every young person I spoke to expressed a very, very strong desire to leave the country. And I had a lot of guilt because I was at the end of my holiday getting on a plane going back to a first world country. But they're very, very desperate to leave. They do not think that the situation in Lebanon is salvageable. They absolutely do not have faith in their political system. And the Lebanese diaspora is actually larger than the population within Lebanon itself. So most people have family overseas. I actually made a few local friends while I was there. And I'm even helping one of them now immigrate to Canada.
Let's talk a little more about your travels within Lebanon. From the reading that I've done, you went down south, which is the Hezbollah stronghold. Again, given your ties to Israel, give us a sense of what that was like, and were you at any time threatened?
So I didn't actually know that we were going to the Hezbollah Museum. They just told us that we were going to a landmark of the resistance in South Lebanon. Yep. So I didn't really know what that Amazing. Meant. But it turns out that it was actually the official Hezbollah Museum. As far as museums go, it was a very modern, well-curated museum. We got into the museum, and you start off by watching a 15-minute propaganda film narrated by Nasrallah himself. And then we were guided by an English-speaking member of Hezbollah around this museum for close to 2 hours. A lot of the museum displayed seized Israeli tanks and all types of imagery about defeating Israel. They wouldn't actually, of course, use the word Israel. They used the word either, you know, Palestine or Zionist entity. It was very uncomfortable for myself as well as the other Jewish person in my group. But I really just needed to keep a poker face because, you know, the whole time I was in Lebanon, I was very nervous given my background. It's forbidden for Israeli citizens to visit Lebanon from the Israeli side and certainly also from the Lebanese side.
I'm listening to you and I've get cold shivers down my spine. It is unimaginable to me that you've done what you have done. I mean, Israel is at war officially with Lebanon. This is not, you know, Jordan.
But, you know, but there were many things that surprised me about Lebanon. So, you know, speaking to Lebanese people, in particular, Sunni Muslims and Christians, they told me they want peace with Israel. From what I was told, the population that really has issues with Israel is the Shiite population. And in fact, we know that Israel helped the Christian population, you know, for a very long time when it occupied part of South Lebanon. You know, what was also a really interesting experience for me is I spent time with the Armenian community in Lebanon. You know, when the Armenian genocide happened, many fled to Syria and Lebanon, and they still live in Lebanon today. What's remarkable about the Armenians is they've held on to their language. So despite the fact that they've lived in Lebanon for 100 years, they still speak Armenian at home, and they still go to Armenian schools. So they're a subculture within Lebanese society. And they very much reminded me of Jewish people.
Something that strikes me as so absurd is when one looks at the map and one sees how close the port of Haifa is to Beirut, and one thinks how easy it would be for Israel to logistically provide that which is necessary for Lebanon. And apparently the new prime minister, when he was appointed, when a week or two or three ago, said he'll make peace or have relations with any country in the world, but for, surprise, surprise, Israel.
Well, I think what was really shocking was that Lebanon was probably the most identical country to Israel that I've ever been to.
Wow.
I would go out partying with local people at night. I mean, the party scene in Beirut, I mean, it really just felt like Tel Aviv. The
wow.
landscape was identical to Israel. I went swimming in the Mediterranean. It felt just like being in Netanya.
Wow.
It really was sad that two countries with so much in common and with such similar culture that they're at war and that there really isn't a prospect of them having relations. But, you know, for me, rather than just thinking about Lebanon as I was taught, I now think of Lebanon in very human terms, in terms
sure.
of the connections with the people that I made when I was there. And I'm still in touch with those people. And I would love to return to Lebanon one day. They're very, very resilient people. They have gone through enormous hardship, and they have a very rich culture and were very hospitable towards me and the people that I traveled there with.
Dan, I've loved absolutely every minute of this discussion with you. I think we're going to get you on as a regular and find out what other weird and wacky and wonderful places you visit. Just very quickly, though, a listener's name is Roland says, won't you get into trouble with the Israeli authorities for visiting Lebanon and now talking about it? And he also wants to know, is Mali and or Somalia on your list?
I visited the Islamic Republic of Iran, so it's not really going to Lebanon's not different than going to Iran in that respect. I wrote an article about my trip to Lebanon in the largest Canadian newspaper. It's not hard to, you know, find out my ties to Israel. I'm not worried, and it was one of the best trips I've ever done, so absolutely no regrets. Again, I was less worried about Israel, and I was much more worried about there being a problem when I was within Lebanon, but thankfully everything was fine. And in terms of where to next, well, I'm in Morocco right now. I spent Yom Kippur with the local Jewish community, tons of stories from that. In terms of other scary places I might want to visit in the future, yeah, I haven't really decided yet. There are a lot of them out there.
I'm out of time. I've got the biggest smile on my face. You and I are going to check in on a regular basis. Thank you for chatting to me today. Shana tova to you.
Shana tova. Thank you.